If you're going to talk dirty to me, you can call me that, I guess. Otherwise, Jason works great. Can I just, like, real quick, because I was standing out, and as a lot of you were coming in, I saw some wear that I didn't know was suitable for church. Some of you had, like, this Cubs gear on. Could you just stand up real quick? If you have something Cubs related, could you stand up? Because I'd like to get a picture of you, just this greeting. Yeah, look at all this Cubs stuff. Right, thank you. Yes, that's my new prayer journal. Awesome. So cool. But I understand, like, there's some Reds fans still. Yeah, a couple of you. Yeah, man. Good job, level 13. Way to plant in an area that needs Jesus. You get this? Like, you are on mission. Good. I met a Braves fan. That's cool. A couple Pittsburgh. Like, I didn't even know they still had a team. That's great. That's awesome. Well, I don't know. Fortunately, unfortunately, I'm a Cardinals fan. Yeah, you pray for me. I just made your prayer journal. You have nothing to worry about. We're not even in the wild card. Like, so you should just love me because you know I'm grieving. That's all right. So I realize, though, like, this is just weird. Can we just say the word weird? It's just weird for a lot of you. You're sitting in the same seat you have for I don't know how many years, some of you 10 years maybe, or how long you've been here, and you're seeing just a different guy on the stage. And for the last, I don't know, you know, 18 years, I'm standing on Sunday morning on a platform like I'm used to, but I'm seeing a lot of new faces. And for both of us, it's just like, well, this is different. And Rob and I have a lot of things in common. And I think as you hear maybe part of the story today, you'll see that we have a kindred hearts. But there's some things we don't. Like, Rob's super good and cool at growing hair here. And I tend to do it here. But we both, you know, groom. His team has red, so does mine. His just is the wrong color of red. But there's a lot that we have in common. Rob was one of the first people that I met when I moved into this district, this gathering, this group of churches, Wesleyan churches, churches that kind of have brotherhood, fellowship together, and we find these places to do life together and share. And so when I came in and got involved in the youth movement, Rob was one of the very first pastors that I met, and I know why you love him. Absolutely know why you fell in love with him. And for a lot of the same reasons, I love him too, and probably for some different reasons. It's just odd moving. We came from North Carolina, and talk about that here in just a moment, but as we came from North Carolina and we were in a strange land and just began to do life with a group of different people, he was one that just really reached out and made me feel welcome and helped me get to know and even helped me cut my teeth in youth ministry and learn some of that. He was an awesome youth pastor, very effective in youth ministry and still is. So for a lot of reasons, I know why you love him. And I would say that while I don't know you, and you don't know me, because you're a part of this church and because I know a lot of the history or the heartbeat of Rob and Woody and just some of the team that's been here forever, because of knowing some of that DNA, I know a little bit about you. And that little bit that I know, I can tell you I already love. It's this idea that we've got some really great news that all people need to experience, and that life is messy and relationships are messy, and we very seldom do we ever get the chance of making a decision right the first time. That most of us, in fact, probably all of us, if we look back, there's a decision like, man, I'd have done that different. Man, that went the wrong way. I didn't see that coming. And there's consequences that come into that. And there's even some things that you have to live with, like you got some life scars, some battle scars that because of that. And then there comes this just this drink of fresh water, this breath of hope, this energized renewal of a voice that comes in that says, it's going to be okay. I know somebody that is going to redeem and just make your crooked sticks straight again and give you hope and a future and has nothing but good for you. And he's going to use that past to do something greater in the future. And anyway, all those things we have in common with Rob. So I'm looking forward to getting to know you. I'm looking forward to growing with you and just seeing what God has in the future. I guess I'm going to answer. There was a time maybe some questions could have come in, and there's one in particular. Like, I think we answered the most important question, and that's, am I a Cubs fan or a Reds fan? Well, neither. But I'm a National League fan, so we have that in common. But there was another really good question that was asked, and I'd like to maybe lean into that a little bit. And that was kind of like, why be an interim pastor? Why'd you say yes to this interim pastor, and what's up with that? I remember my daughter Hallie is with me this morning, and she's 14. So it's been several years ago. My wife Patricia, she wasn't able to be here this week. She'll be here next week, but there was something that she'd already made a commitment to this week, and she wanted to keep that. So looking forward to you getting to meet her and know her a little bit. But when Hallie was small, she when she would see something on TV, like maybe all of you that have kids, you know this, when they see something on the commercial and they get excited and they want you to see it now, right? And they scream and jump up and down and you've got to come in. Well, when Hallie was small, I would notice that she was constantly calling us back into the front room to watch something, to see something, especially around Christmas time, right? Because she wants us to know what she wants. And so we just felt like we were constantly running from wherever we were into the front room to be able to see what it is that she wanted. So one day, kind of this bright idea happened. I was leaving for work, so I knew I wouldn't have to deal with the aftermath. That's why I knew it was a good idea. That my wife would have to deal with the aftermath, not me. So I showed Hallie how to use the remote control before I left. And on the remote control, I'm like, the only button you really need to know, Hallie, is this one right here. It's the pause button. So when you see something that you want and mom can't come in and look at it, just hit pause. And then when she's ready, she can come see it. It wasn't very long after in the day, like, I don't know, a couple hours into the day, my wife texted me, "What were you thinking? What did you do teaching our daughter how to hit the pause button?" I love the ability to record live TV. I love the ability to record, because I'm just not a commercial guy. I don't like commercials, and so we just record whatever we're going to watch, or you get on Netflix, right? You don't like commercials, so you watch it, and you can fast forward through all the stuff. You can skip through it. You can dial in and just watch what you want to watch, and you get to skip all the other junk, right? How does all that tie into why the interim? Because I understand that a great work has begun here. And that I understand that God has called Pastor Rob and his family into a new journey. But what I believe to be absolutely true, level 13, is you are not a commercial. And God has not hit the pause button. That God still has great things in mind for this body, for this community, that he still has great things that he wants to do in this region, and he has you in mind to do it. That inside you is a DNA that pulsates, and it pulsates with this grace and this mercy of Christ that others need to drink from, that when they do, they will crave nothing else but Jesus. And you have a life, you have a billboard that says it's true. Your life is a billboard that just says to everybody that what I'm telling you is true. And that while we're in this season, this different kind of season, you're not a commercial. God hasn't hit the pause button. He still has so much more that he wants to do through you, and I hope you believe that. And when I learned, right, when I knew, like, there's obviously a season for me that's changing too, walking away from the church that I've been a part of for 20 years and been on staff for 18 and the lead pastor for the last 8. I understand that God has different seasons in our life. But I remember when level 13 started, and I remember hearing the conversations that were going on with Rob. I remember talking about how he was going to do something different and creative and bold, and was going to reach a group of people in a way that maybe no other church at the time was doing it. And I think you've done a phenomenal job. I remember when you started on Saturday, and I remember whenever you would come together on a Saturday and you would eat and you would worship. I remember when there was this word called Echo Ops that was floating around. And that you would get involved and you would serve the community in ways that nobody else was serving the community. Can I tell you how odd it must be for somebody at a gas station to see a group of people come in and go, can we clean your bathrooms for you? Like, that's just like, that's odd. That doesn't happen every day. But you found ways to connect, to open people's eyes, to open people's hearts, to open people's minds. You made an invisible God visible. You are making an invisible God visible. And I love the boldness that you started with and that you have. I love the creativity. And this work that God began, you can't tell me that it's on pause, that God has this commercial planned in. But there is this season of waiting and preparing. And I just want to be a part. I want to see what God has for you flourish and to, you know, just to try to help however I can to move you from this season into the next season and prepare you for even greater things. I think it's amazing that I think you're like the only church in our family, within our regional family, that's planted another church. You have been born with this DNA that says it's about others. It's about those who haven't yet heard. And to think about that being stopped or on pause or to take a commercial break just isn't right. So I think it's a good time if you're new, if you're visiting and you're like, hey, I don't even know what's going on, you know, or maybe you're a little nervous. I'm nervous too. It's all right. If you've just got a lot of sweat, blood, and tears in this place, and you think, man, I don't know, where are we going? Where Jesus takes us, that's where we're going. You see, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was in the Marine Corps, and that's when I was in North Carolina. And when I left, I would say that I was not, as a matter of fact, I was far from God. I had just totally went in a different direction, didn't want anything to do with God. And I didn't even want my family to know or do anything with God, because most of my life, I had tried to be obedient and serve and live out a God-centered life. And there, things begin to happen in my life that I did not think were God-like. Like, I didn't understand why he would allow them. I didn't understand why he wasn't doing anything about it. I didn't understand why he didn't stop it. And so my heart just got a little jaded towards God. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in the crowd that can resonate with that. That when God begins to disappoint you and you ask questions and those questions aren't answered or they don't come back in a way that you understand, your heart gets a little jaded. Maybe somebody understands that. And so I just begin to kind of like walk further and further and further away from God. We moved into Indiana. Not wanting anything necessarily, not even pursuing God or seeking God, but all while learning that God was seeking me. And I bet there's somebody in the room that understands that in your life too. That you think you're running from God, but eventually what you found out is you ran to God. And you go, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? So I remember we were living in where we were living, and I had to drive by this church every day to go to work. And I just would constantly feel my car, I would feel my heart drawn into this church. I got so irritated by it. I found a new way to work, and I went to work via country roads. I mean, I was angry at God. God, I don't want anything to do with you, and if this is the feelings I'm going to get when I drive by a church, I'm going to find another way to work. My mom called. She kept just constantly praying for me, and you moms and your prayers all the time. And God loves moms, and he listens to those prayers, and so she was constantly praying for me and about me, and one day she just asked, she says, Jason, aren't you ready to get back in church and to get back into a body of faith again? And I didn't answer her, and so another time she called, she goes, hey, did you go to church this past week? And oh my goodness, what I'm about to tell you, I lied to my mom. Oh man. That's as bad as being a Cubs fan. And sorry. You'll have a new guy here next week. Don't worry about it. sure of it. I said, yeah, Mom, I went to a church. And she says, what church was it? And I said, I don't know, Westland, something. I don't know. I've never heard of it. And she said, well, did you like the pastor? I said, yeah, he was all right. She goes, what did he preach about? I said, Jesus. And well, then I felt bad and I got pretty convicted about it, you know. And she says, well, hey, let me talk to Patricia. I'm like, oh, no. So I'm on the phone, right? And I looked at my wife. I said, I just told Mom we went to church Sunday. She says, I'm not lying for you. Oh, no. My mom knew. She didn't talk to her. Well, then I did repent and I confessed and I apologized to my mother and we made a commitment. We would go back to church. Now, here's why I bring that up. Is because my life was broken. Because I had ran from my family and I was destroying my body and I was contemplating the purpose of life. Because nothing else around me seemed to make sense, and the hole that I was in was so deep and so dark that I couldn't even see light at the top of it. I didn't know kind of where the exit was. I wonder maybe somebody understands that. And when I begin to allow room in my life to consider that hope does exist, that love could abound, and that God truly could be who he says he is and do what he says he'll do, I did not think about going to the Christian that I knew. I didn't start writing down a list of Christians that I think could help me. But I said, I want to find this ark, this place of salvation that is supposed to exist inside this body. So when I begin to look for places of hope, I didn't necessarily know an individual. I thought of a place. And so I went to the church. And I knew that supposedly at this location, I would find a people and I would find a lifestyle, that I would find a hope and I would find a forgiveness and I would find a strength that I probably couldn't find anywhere else. And so as I begin to, maybe some of you would understand this too, I sit in the very back seat. The first time I went into church, I sit in the very back and I just kind of rocked. Like if anybody was around me, they just had to like, what is he doing? He's about to flip. I mean, I just sitting there, I just wanted out. Like I could hear the clock ticking and all I could sit there and think is I need a cigarette, I need a cigarette, I need a cigarette, I want out, I want out. Maybe somebody understands that. Soon as they said, I don't even think I heard the word amen, I was gone. We got in the car and I was sweating. I mean, I remember this sweating. And it was just God all over me. I didn't know that then, but that was just God's love all over me. And I didn't know how to deal with that. But for whatever reason, we gave it a second chance. And we went back again. And there was this group of people that they kind of, they would allow me enough space not to crowd me, but they didn't ignore me either. And they would just begin to, little bit by little bit, begin to lean into me and ask some questions about me and my life and my family and our hopes. And I found this group of people that walked at my pace in reintroducing me back to Jesus. And I got to see our kids come to Christ, and I got to see our kids baptized. I got to grow in fellowship in the union of Christ with my wife. We got to be discipled. We got to say yes to Jesus in our calling and begin to follow him. God didn't have a commercial break on my life. He doesn't have a commercial break on yours. There are people walking around you day in, day out that are looking for hope. And when they finally awaken themselves, when they allow themselves to dream again, when they allow themselves to think about the possibilities, I hope, I pray that one of the places they would consider to let hope be reborn, love be reborn, forgiveness come, this newness come, will be level 13. And that what I know about you is that this is a place where it's okay not to be okay. But what I know is it's not okay to stay that way. And that we have to walk with people at their pace, one step at a time, into a growing, loving relationship with Jesus, where they learn to be loved and to love, where they learn to not just be served, but to serve. Reminds me a little bit of the story, right, where the disciples, as they were following Jesus, and they had no clue what they were doing. And as they were following Jesus, they came into a crowd. They were really wanting to get away. You remember the story? They were wanting to get away because really John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Jesus had gotten the news and he just wanted to get away and be by himself and be with the Father and grieve a little bit. He goes across the lake and as soon as he gets there, everybody had already heard where he was going, so they kind of rushed ahead of him. He lands on the side and there's all these people. He's like, man, I don't even get a break. Jesus didn't get a commercial break. And he saw these people, and it says he saw them and he had compassion on them. And as he just began to minister to them, and as he began to pour out the Father's heart on them through him, the disciples noticed, hey, they're about to get hangry. You guys use the word hangry? You understand hangry? Yeah. They were getting hangry, and there was no Taco Bell. There was no, like, fourth meal. And the disciples saw it. And they're like, hey, Jesus, I think it's probably be wise before we get, you know, you probably ought to send them away so they get something to eat. And Jesus said, you feed them. Now, he already had in mind, right, what he was going to do, but he's just testing them. I wonder if there's anybody in the room that has said, well, what are we going to do now? Rob's gone. And Jesus is looking at you and he's going, you feed them. You've got what it takes. You know me. You have faith. You have this written word. You have one another. That it's not dependent on a person, but the Holy Spirit. And that God hasn't taken a commercial break. And he's not hit pause on level 13, but he has a next season for you. And I wonder if there's a group of people or somebody in here says, what now? And Jesus says, you feed them. Well, this caused a little bit of panic. What are we going to do? So as they like steal a little kid's Happy Meal, or actually he offered it up and they quickly took it. And I, in my mind, I picture it because it's how I would do. You're looking at thousands. It's far beyond the number they tell you. It's more than 5,000, right? It's more than that because they're just counting men. And so as they're looking and they get these little loaves, and we think like big loaves. No, it was a poor boy's sack lunch. It was just shards of bread. It was just a little bit of bread and little bitty tuna bites. And as they're holding it, they're like, that's all we got. And in my mind, like, that's ridiculous. I would feel embarrassed even bringing it to the guy in charge going, can you do something? Like, I've just been like, nope, that doesn't even work. But they did, for whatever reason. They said, hey, this is what we got. And in my, this is how I play out the story in my head, is after Jesus prays and they've kind of, however they've got it packaged and carrying it in, I'm arguing with Jesus the whole time I'm serving. This is never going to work. 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 It never going to work. This might work. This is gonna work. This is working. This is working. And then they pass out all, and they're like, we've got leftovers. What? Maybe somebody's in here going, this is never gonna work. This is never gonna work. This is never gonna work. But as you just give what you have and you serve and you go, I believe that God has greater days in store for us. I believe there's more of God to be had. Like, we're next. We're in this next season. And if we can look back and celebrate everything that God has been able to do in and through level 13, if that's the faithfulness of God in the past, can you imagine what he has for you tomorrow? Can you dream again? Can you be bold again? Can you be creative again? Can you say that it is about those who we've not reached yet again? And then as we just pour out our life, that we'll start saying from, it's never going to work, this might work. It's working. It's working. So that's why I said yes to being an interim pastor. Is because I believe the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that there are people in this community that need you, and I believe that you have what it takes to reach them, and I look forward to growing with you, serving with you, and watching this basket just begin to overflow. flood and overfill and other people's lives changed because you said, I think it's going to work. Can I pray about it? Heavenly Father, I think maybe our ears need to hear this, and if our ears would hear it, our heart would begin to believe it again. This is your church. These are your people. You saved them from, and they can fill in the blank, of all the things you saved them from. You saved me from depression. You saved me from toxic, destructive thoughts and toxic and destructive behavioral patterns. You saved me from destructive and toxic habits. You saved me from self. But God, I also think that we could begin to fill in the blank that says you just didn't save me from something. You saved me to something. You saved me to share with others. You saved me to serve others. You saved me to love my neighbor, to love my enemy. You saved me to offer my life, to pour out that others might have the hope that I have. And so, God, I pray that for level 13. That what we have freely received, we freely give. That we would be bold. That we would be creative. That we would radically reprioritize our life like Noah did in building this house of salvation. We would radically reprioritize our life around the mission you've called us to. Because somebody's, someone, some family's eternity is at stake. And because you said yes to us, we don't owe it to anybody else. Because you said yes to us, we're not obligated to anybody else. But we do owe it to you. Because you said yes to us, we say yes to you. May your name be great. May you be famous through the ministry and mission of Level 13, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.